page 42. Somatic history is transferred from generation to generation, shaping our bodies, our thoughts. Even now, thousands of years later, those who think they are assimilated, living in tidy suburban houses far from pogroms and Ellis Island, are still carrying the terror in their dreams. Movement behavior develops as we take on the history of our family nexus. Information is passed from generation to generation, not only through stories, but also at the silent level. The imprints of wars, strife, prejudice, sexual events, meanings, and values are all registered and carried in our field, recorded in the intrinsic somatic arena of breath, touch, and certainly the parameters we put around our bodies and sensory responsiveness. The internalized inhibition of our movement and sensory domains is complex and far-reaching. We are shaped by our time, space, and condition. Our arrival becomes a continual layering of impressions and messages, both verbal and nonverbal, that becomes the implicate ambiance of all that we inhabit. It seems obvious that our cultural story becomes our reality map. The cultural myth, whatever one you belong to, provides the designated reality filter. We keep reinforcing it by never questioning the underlying myth. All cultures move like magnetic filings around the center pole, the axis of their myth. A person moves around the center pole of personal history in the same way. The more I define my history, the more grooved my magnetic feelings become. Cultures and people become closed systems, hardening themselves to the creative urgings of life, change, plasticity. Although our human legacy is a virtually unimaginable richness of existence composed of many qualities of expression, our cultural mythologies keep us from ever realizing this. Maybe this is why we use such a tiny portion of our brain, since we are only using a small layer of what's possible. Perhaps we are not ready for this. Perhaps the scope of what's possible as a human is too much for this meager 3% of the brain to manage. Many of us have drawn the line as to how much movement we can tolerate. The frontier of humanity has not even been touched. As long as we keep describing ourselves as objects, we cannot really comprehend the enormity of our capacities and potentialities. Objectification forces us to self-objectify, creating a wall of justification. The wall becomes part of us, looking somewhat like skin. It protects us. Having inherited it, we have no idea that it's there until suffocation hits. Until our breath fogging up against our wall forces us one way or the other to live or to die. That is the question. We carry internally the accumulated pasts of our particular tribe or group, blended with our unique experience of the world, hoping that we can, with a large bundle of knowledge on our shoulders, figure out how we are going to proceed with the problematic events before us. No matter what I'm saying, the structured thought of my culture affects my language, meanings, urgings, and pain. I am not a tabula rasa. I have arrived with inherited structured beliefs that shape my world and configure me accordingly. Somatic inheritance is passed as baby takes on the breath of the mother. Historical patterns are encoded in styles of breathing. Body tensions are also transmitted at these silent levels. For all of us, generational family trauma will be transformed and constructed like the fine spider webbing, having the power to ensnare without our even knowing it. Somnambulistic numbing states are inherited, and the Holocaust continues as each frozen parent gives birth to a fluid baby that proceeds to shape itself according to the messages of its environment. Existential signals and means of protection are communicated from parent to child, and holocaustal fear continues, each generation carrying a fresh inner barbed wire. It is well known that the children of the Holocaust carry its tragedy, even though they themselves were never actually at the camps. This is how cultural history functions, as a field phenomena constantly influencing us.